Chapter 10. The Lord of Mars. The omnispecs went green, and the adjudicator rang a tiny clarion. "Pass," said Call. "The machine god bless you in all your undertakings." The Thalax strode out of the screening bay on mechanical legs. Call left it in a dreamlike state, its higher functions deactivated as Domina Hester Aspertia Sigma Sigma preferred. Call half-heartedly flicked scented oils over the Thalax from an aspergillum and watched it go to join the silent ranks of its comrades. He would have liked to know what was going on in the man's brain, floating there in the metal casing, unable to influence his own actions. It was normal for the Mechanicum troops to undergo direct control from their clayed masters from time to time. They expected it, even welcomed it as a chance to commune directly with the machine god. But the level of control Sigma Sigma exerted over her minions was unusual, and probably unhealthy. "And now," he thought, "I'm one of them." He called the next Thalax forward to the status bay. 788 were left to inspect. At 2:03 an inspection, on average, he was going to be on the Thalax line for at least another 26 hours. By the machine god, the work was very dull, and exactly the reason he had not settled into one role for long. Call never wanted to be bolted into one hole and forgotten about. It looked like it had finally happened. He waved the next Thalax through after the most cursory of examinations. Its tall ceramite warframe tramped forwards. The Thalaxi were cyborgs like the Skitari, though you couldn't tell that from the outside. They looked like robots. Only the brain and spine remained of the original human, held inside an armoured amniotic tank. The rest was machinery. Call called them all he, although any one of them, or indeed all of them, could have been women. It didn't really matter what pronoun you used, once they scooped out your brain and threw away the rest. The icon for an infospheric digimissive blinked in the artificial display of his third eye. He opened it with a thought. "Call, attend me now," it read. No sign of, no audio or picked. Aspertia Sigma Sigma. Another adept was already approaching to take over Call's shift. He had gone further down the road to union with the machine god than Call had, and wore rank badges several grades higher than Call's. The lower half of his face had been replaced, along with all four of his limbs. There wasn't much more of him that was flesh than there was in the Thalaxi.
"Go,"
the adept blurted, a single-string directive of audible binaric. Call handed over the medical omnispecs and the aspergillum without a word, and went away to find his mistress, glad to be free of the Thalax line. Domina Hester Aspertia Sigma Sigma was in the Heptalagon Central Data Transfer Nexus in Trier Station. The Thalax line was in Seconda, so Call was required to take 2 low-pressure hyperspeed transit pods to get there. By the time he nudged his way through the throng of Mechanicum adepts clustered around the central hololith pit, he was late again, and something momentous was already afoot. The room was dark. All faces were turned inwards. The adepts were silent and resentful of his clumsy progress towards his mistress. At the head of the crowd was the lord of the Trisolian forge world, the Viceroy Extractatorian Benician Mendoza. Sigma Sigma was by Mendoza's side, as befitted her status as Tagmata Macro Clade Leader. She pulsed Call a disapproving data burst as he joined her. Call arrived as an image was wavering into being. It took its time in focusing until hovering over the imaging pit was a Mechanicum Tech adept clad in black robes. The birth gender was indeterminate. The figure had altered itself far from the human norm. Odd angles under its garments suggested little of the original body remained. The face was invisible. Reflections on lenses hinted at multiple bionic eyes beneath the hood. There was nothing out of the ordinary about that. There were far more extreme cybermorphs in the Mechanicum than this person. But there was something about the adept that was wrong. Although many in the room with Call were similarly enhanced as the figure, the messenger seemed arachnid in ultimate origin, rather than mammalian, and its uncanniness did not stop there. The adept had a trick to play, as shameless as any dazzling feat performed for the benefit of feral worlders by an explorator fleet. The hololith's projection ribbons wavered in a way that they should not. Heavily striated mote strands evened themselves into a true picked-quality image. Frameshift technologies made flaws inevitable. They could not be ironed out. That was physics. At close range and in good conditions, the best holocast provided a phantom figure. And yet here, the adept in the image was totally lifelike. And that was beyond the ability of the Martians. As surely as a conjurer ostentatiously performs progressive stages of his deception, each limitation of hololith technology dropped away. Audio buzz crackled to silence. The jag and tear, common in long-range holocasts, smoothed itself away. The blueness particular to the Trisolian comm grid melted into vibrant colour. Distortion flicker in the beam alignment faded to zero oscillations per microsecond. The instruments used to monitor the hololith, in that particular case discreetly hidden in the pit around the base of the projection aperture, ceased their symphony of quiet hums, leaving the tech adepts manning the device staring in confusion. And then, the finale. A subtle conclusion, and more powerful for it. There was more to the image than visual veracity. Somehow, Call wasn't sure how, and judging by the noises the others witnessing this technological marvel made, nor was anyone else, but somehow it ceased to be an image and became real. Until that moment, lifeless, the figure's robes stirred in a warm breeze that blew impossibly from the image. Incredibly, they could smell the sacred oils greasing the adept's augmetics, the incense, the holy unguents of operation coating machine parts. The quality of the audio band approached, then exceeded that of a hardline vox. It was all impossible. Vocal murmurs and bleeps of binaric filled the room. They were wondering how it was done. Call was. Everyone was. And then the figure spoke.
"Greetings to you all, faithful of the machine god."
The voice was female and passionate, strangely emotive, to say it came from such an augmented being. Call did not let it fool him with its missionary zeal. It was her only trace of humanity, and though the voice was beautiful, there was a phlegmy catch to certain words that was not human at all.
"I bring word to you from Mars. I am Sota Null, emissary of the new Mechanicum to War Master Horus Lupercal, Saviour of the Imperium."
Consternation greeted this latest pronouncement.
"The false Mechanicum!" the Viceroy Extractatorian exclaimed. "You reveal your intelligence. Terminate this conversation."
The tech adepts in the machine pit poked unsurely at their machines. They raised faces of pallid flesh and oily metal to their master.
"We cannot deactivate the projector, my lord,"
whispered one who was healthily afraid.
"Disconnect it!"
"My lord, it already is disconnected," said another,
more fearfully than the first. The hololith's attendant adepts began to chant. The highest of them picked up a bronze hammer on a chain, kissed it, whispered ritual words over it, and smashed the glass front of a box attached to the pit wall to retrieve the coil of emergency incense kept inside. An alarm rang at the insult.
"You cannot disengage this channel of communication. Only I have that power, and you will hear me out,"
the she-thing said passionately.
Call had thought Aspertia Sigma Sigma horribly unnerving. This Sota Null was far worse.
"My colleagues, my brothers in the faith, I am a servant of the true Mechanicum, the Mechanicum of Mars. Do you not see those you follow are of Terra, and not of our kind? Zagreus Kane is a puppet, a lord without domain. You are homeless, cut off from the wellspring of all knowledge. We offer you leadership and unity under the Fabricator General, he who was appointed by the will of the holy Schinods, who operate under direction of the motive force, the machine god who moves among us."
Call sniffed. Smell was a neglected sense in a people who disdained the body and sought the higher purity of machine life. It was too animal a sense, too vulgar. But he retained the use of his nose, and something rank caught at it, crawled inside and clung like bad oil to the back of his throat. His machine senses registered nothing wrong. Indeed, they detected no unusual olfactory input at all. But his birth smell caught a taint on the air blowing from the image, if indeed it was an image, that turned his stomach. Rotten meat and blood. There was something moving in the background behind Sotanul. Something unclean.
Lies! Exclaimed the Viceroy Extractatorian. Hal turned his back on mankind. I will not do the same.
My fellow seekers after knowledge, implored Sotanul, do not take my word for it. I have a message for you. Please listen. Heed wisdom.
The image went out of focus as though it were viewed underwater. When it cleared, Kelbor Hal was there, sat upon the throne of Mars, the white and black cog teeth of its cog mechanicum backrest framing him.
Hal!
Shouted the Extractatorian, his outthrust finger quivering with accusation.
How dare you show your face!
He hasn't, thought Call. This is a recording. So it was. Though exceedingly lifelike, Kelbor Hal lacked the realism of his emissary. There was no movement or smell, though the clarity of the image was amazing enough in itself.
Citizens of the Empire of Mars, I am Lord Kelbor Hal, Fabricator General, and your rightful lord, he stated pointlessly.
Every member of the Fraternis Technis, from idiot hygiene thralls, one misdemeanor from servitorhood, to the rulers of Forge Worlds, knew Hal's appearance.
I demand your fealty. Turn your face from the false omnisire of terror. Open your eyes and see that you have been deceived. The so-called Emperor came to us with deception in his heart, demanding our technology and our servitude. We were blinded by his power. He is a witch who used his abilities to cloud our minds, and a data thief. Join with me, your master, and you shall be the inheritors of all knowledge. Behold, the bargain of the war master. See what we are promised.
A widecast data pulse filled every head capable of receiving it with the new Treaty of Mars, the opening of the forbidden vault of Moravec. Horus's generous gift of the Aurician technocracy's standard template construct data, the continued autonomy of Mars, all things the Emperor had denied them. The crowd murmured.
If the War Master's generosity towards our nation does not convince you, consider this, continued Hal. The servants of the false Omnissiah of Terror have appointed Zagreus Kane as Fabricator General. Never before has an outside power imposed a ruler upon Mars. The Mechanicum is to be dissolved. Our independence is no more. This new Adeptus Mechanicus will forever subordinate the rights of Mars to the Terran hegemony. With this act, the Emperor has concluded the stealthy conquest of our empire. He began 2 centuries ago. He is a false god. He would deny us the tools to seek greater union with the true god, the machine god, because he is envious of our wisdom, and he is afraid. Join with us, join with the War Master, and cast down the false Omnissiah's empire, so Mars may be reborn.
The message faded away. Isn't he boxed up on Mars? Said Call to Aspertius Sigma Sigma. She looked down at him. The unmoving features of her mask managed to convey her scorn adequately enough. Call was not discouraged. He spoke up louder, addressing the room.
Hal is trapped, he said. He doesn't seem to be in a strong position to be making demands of anyone.
The look the Viceroy Extractatorian gave Call was no less damning than Aspertius.
Who is this person? He asked. He is no one, said Aspertius Sigma Sigma.
I am Adept Belisarius Call, recently elevated in Domina Hester Aspertius Sigma Sigma's service, he said.
Then, Adept Call, be quiet, said the Extractatorian.
Sotanul re-emerged on the hololith. She waited with mannered patience. The Viceroy Extractatorian's hunched body unfolded, standing tall with the clacking of additional joints locking into place.
Reason dictates, Sotanul, that you are to demand our surrender. If not, we will be destroyed.
This is correct. The Warmaster is not a monster. He offers peace, but if you stand in his way, he will destroy you, said Sotanul.
We will not yield, said the Viceroy Extractatorian.
Then I offer further variables for input. The Warmaster sends but a portion of his mighty fleets to bring you to Khil, but the force that will descend is far more than your miserable outpost can muster in opposition. 9 legions come to aid the new Mechanicum. You will be obliterated. She paused. Trisolian, forge world of the Mechanicum. Think carefully with whom your loyalty lies. Mars or Terra?
Every ocular sensor in the room went to the Viceroy Extractatorian. The Viceroy Extractatorian snapped his fingers. An officious-looking minor adept shuffled forwards, his all-encompassing robes dragging over the deck. He held a covered object. The Viceroy nodded. With hands covered in sleeves, the bearer pulled free the cloth over his burden. As everyone leaned back in horror, Call leaned forwards, fascinated. Under the cloth was a magnetic flask of clear crystal flecks. Something angry was held inside, bashing against the transparent metal and shrieking. Tiny mouths appeared in its form, which at one moment was a cloud of pinkish vapour, the next a swarm of numbers, the next darts of circuit board light.
We have heard of what occurred on Mars and at Kalth. Did you think to catch us unawares? As soon as your message reached our receivers, we quarantined this from a substratum of your carrier signal. You will not subvert our defences as you did at Kalth. You will come here, and you will find us ready for you.
You are a traitor to Mars and the cult Mechanicus, said Sotanul.
You are a traitor. This scrap code is infused with unholy energies. It is a synthesis of science and sorcery, the product of Moravec's folly,
he fulminated.
These are forbidden paths.
Forbidden by the Emperor?
No,
shouted the Extractatorian.
Forbidden by the tenets of our faith. The Emperor might not be the Omnisire. The argument is irrelevant. Without him, Mars was a dying empire, tempted to dabble in things best undisturbed. Your display here has swayed the more impressionable among us, but not I. I know it for what it is. This is not technology you employ. It is darkness. It is you who betray the machine god.
Sotanul laughed, a moist, rasping sound that was as inhuman as her mechanical body.
So be it, servant of the false Omnisire. If destruction is what you desire, the Warmaster has a plenitude to spare.
The hololith gave out with a bang. The machines hosting it burned out, sending electrical feedback racing around the chamber's circuitry. Servitors moaned. The lights went out. A whiff of brimstone hung on the air. Emergency lumens flickered on. Immediately, the Viceroy Extractatorian began issuing orders.
Cleanse this place. Remove all machines that have partaken in any of the projected energies and have them destroyed. Eliminate all servitors who helped process this signal. Sigma Sigma, if the enemy have utilized the hololith, they are close. We must prepare for war and guard against infiltration. All military assets are to be activated immediately. All extraction operations are hereby suspended.
Why come here? Said Call to Sigma Sigma. He interrupted her. She was busy with 3 inferiors present and probably remotely engaged with dozens more scattered throughout the system.
What?
She said angrily.
I do not think you understand how this relationship works. I speak, you are silent.
No, said Call. You are not listening to me. Listen. Why does the Warmaster come here? We're nowhere. We have nothing that he might need. You have a military mind, Domino. Why?
So, you seek to suck my knowledge from me as you have your previous masters?
She said. I am asking for enlightenment from one with greater comprehension, said Call, as humbly as he could manage. Sigma Sigma gave a metallic sigh.
We offer a point of resupply for any Imperial forces who might threaten the War Master's rear, she said.
But his armies are on the other side of us, galactically speaking.
Aspertius Sigma Sigma bent down over Call.
Yes, but when he moves to take Beta Garbon, we will not be.
Quick as a whipcrack, her long serpentine body looped around and she sped away, her mechapeds rattling. Scattering smaller tech priests, she headed off on some mysterious errand of her own. Or maybe, thought Call, she doesn't want to answer any more of my questions. If Call possessed a shred of self-doubt, he might have thought her annoyed by his ignorance and been humbled. But if Call was blessed with a surfeit of anything, it was self-belief. His question was valid. According to data traffic, 4 out of 5 of Tresolian's highest-ranking Tagmata officers after Sigma Sigma were in the room. So why had she gone? He found the speed of her departure suspicious.